tasted fire. I'm ready to come alive. I can't just shut it up and fake that I'm alright. I'm ready now, I'm not waiting for the afterlife. It is time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio. It's been a busy month of August for the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk about the situation there, and we'll also talk about the NFL a little bit as the season kicks off in less than 2 weeks. Always an exciting time of the year. As for the Chicago Cubs, by now I'm sure you're very familiar with the news that Jim Henry was let go from his position as general manager. He was there for 9 seasons, and before I begin hating on the man, I do want to say a few things about him. He did some really good things while being here in Chicago. The Cubs were either good or very competitive in really several of his years: 2001, 2003, 2004, 2007, 2008, and even some of 2009 under Jim Hendry. In his 9 seasons, he did have a winning record. Well, the Chicago Cubs had a winning record in his 9 seasons, and that in itself probably shocks some people, because the Cubs, you know, it's kind of strange to think that they've been above 500 in any 9-year stretch of their history, but that is the case. In the last 9 years, they've won more games than they've lost. The Cubs had back-to-back division titles in 07-08. Of course, they came within 1 win of the World Series in 03. So Jim Henry did some good things here. He was a hard worker. He's a great guy. He's very passionate about what he does. He probably wasn't entirely at fault for some of the awful contracts. Some of that has to fall on the Tribune and former presidents of the team. But with all that said, I still could not be happier that he's no longer the general manager of this team. It was time to move on. In fact, I think it was about 1.5 years too late for him to be gone. But it finally did happen, and so the Cubs move on. I've said on the show before, it seemed like Jim Henry either made a great move or a terrible move. Very few in-between moves. But the bottom line is he went for it all in 07 and 08, and you can't blame the guy for going for it all in Chicago, where the fans are just dying for even one World Series. So he went for it all, can't blame him for that, but the fact is it didn't work out. And now the last 2 to 3 years, the Cubs have been a very bad team, suffering from those bad contracts and declining veterans that were under Jim Henry's watch. So now the Cubs move on, and the search is on for the next general manager of the team. I cannot emphasize enough how important of a decision this is for Tom Ricketts and company. Now, Tom Ricketts is hoping to have someone in place in early October. Not sure if that's entirely realistic, but it is a good sign that they want to move quickly so that this offseason can be completely under the new GM. And there's already been a good 10 to 12 names thrown out there for this position. Of course, this also means that the entire Cubs coaching staff is in jeopardy of losing their jobs. A new general manager typically wants his own guys, but I don't think that too many Cubs fans are that concerned about losing any of the current coaches or even the manager. But there is a solid chance that the Cubs completely clean house and have all new management and an all new coaching staff. Might be a refreshing change for the Northsiders. All right. Now it's time. We're going to bring in one of my favorite guests of the show. He's so cute and cuddly. Tyler Sickmeyer, how's it going?
It's glad to be cute and cuddly and back on the TY20 podcast.
That's true. Now, I don't know if you're one of the fans' favorite. You're just one of mine, so that's good enough for the show, right?
Well, I don't have enough money to bribe everybody. So.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll take what we can get.
That's true. Well, I like to bring you on the show. We're going to talk NFL here in a few minutes, but first, I like to bring you on the show when we talk a little Cubs baseball. And you may ask, why is that so, with this guy being a Cardinal fan? But it's always a good debate, and to get an outsider's perspective on the team that I love and hate at the same time, the Chicago Cubs. So, you know, the change that they're making at the general manager position, I wanted to know your thoughts. What do you think will happen? What, as a Cardinal fan, do you not want to happen for the Cubs in terms of who they get?
Okay, well, I'll tell you who I would love you guys to take, and that would be the Houston Astros.
So, fat chance.
I would love you guys. Fine, I think it'd be a great fit, great chemistry. would love to see that happen for you. But unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen. I think you've really got a couple candidates. You've got Billy Beane out of Oakland. You've got Cashman out of New York. And you've got the general manager down there in Tampa. I can't think of his name right now.
Friedman.
You know it off the top of your head?
Yeah, Andrew Friedman.
Andrew Friedman. So I'd say the last thing I want to see as a Cardinals fan is you guys hire Andrew Friedman, because he has built a successful farm system and seems to have a knack for knowing when to trade guys, regardless of payroll expectations or how many years they have left on their deal. So he really gets the most bang out of his buck. I mean, he dumped Carl Crawford last year. Carl's been doing good to stay above the Mendoza line this year. So with that in mind, I'd say Andrew Friedman would be my top choice to not see you guys get. I don't mind Cashman as much. I know he'll get talked about a lot by Cubs fans, but you think about it, everything Cashman's built, he's built with Yankee money, and don't get me wrong, the Cubs have money, but no team has Yankee money. So, he'd be the one general managing candidate that would actually be downgrading as far as what he's able to do. And the other thing, too, I know all the Cubs fans talk about how much money they're going to have to spend this offseason, but when you look at the business end, and what the Ricketts are finding out now is that they don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money, and they haven't necessarily won in the past when the Cubs have spent money. And you look at Alfonso Soriano and Carlos Zambrano, who you guys can't pay a team to take care of right now. So those things aside, I hope you don't spend the money on Prince Fielder this offseason. And you may or you may not, but I don't see the Cubs bringing in a general manager that is more inclined to just spend money to fix problems. They're going to want someone who's creative with trades and who knows how to build a good farm system and be within the organization.
Let me ask you this real quick. There's even some talk, and I don't know how realistic this is, but there's even some talk that Theo Epstein's name is coming up and that he would have interest in this job. So as a Cardinal fan, would you rather have Epstein or Friedman to be the Cubs general manager?
I'd still say Theo Epstein. I think absolute worst case scenario as a Cardinals fan is that you guys hire Friedman. And I would love to see you guys hire Billy Beane, because Billy, for all his gimmicks of Moneyball, it's kind of like, if you just go back to college basketball for a minute, there's a college called Grinnell. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they had a gimmick where basically they tried to shoot the ball within 10 seconds of the shot clock every trip down the floor. It's a running gun offense, and they substitute 5 players every 2 minutes in the game. All 15 guys play. They've just got 15 guys that can shoot three. They say as an opposing player, it's actually better for you to take 20 seconds off the shot clock and miss than to make a quick layup, because they just want to get out and go. That's their gimmick. And the same thing with the same thing bringing it back, though, is with the Moneyball gimmick. It's interesting. People like to talk about it. It's popular. The fans love it. There's a movie coming out about it, whatever. But that doesn't necessarily translate into on-the-field success. I mean, when's the last time the A's got out of their division, and recently have they even been able to win their division?
Yeah, I've always thought Billy Beane was overrated. I mean, if everyone thinks you're a good GM, you've got to be doing something right. But, and I know they don't have a ton of resources there, and he would in Chicago. I wouldn't be, terrified if he was named the GM, but I've always thought that he was a bit overrated. But as for Friedman, he's a little uncertain for me. Yeah, it's easy to say, well, he could build this team that he built for the Rays with the Cubs and even make it better because he'd have money to spend. It's really a lot easier said than done, but what I've heard about him is that he has such a great scouting department. He pays so much attention to statistics, and that's something the Cubs have never really had before. So he's your number one that you don't want, and right now he is number one on my list of who I do want, although there still is a little bit of uncertainty with him.
Yeah, I agree completely, although I'm doing whatever I can to keep pushing for Ed White to get the job. I wrote him a high letter of recommendation. What he did for the Astros organization was phenomenal, and I'd love to see him carry that losing tradition after Chicago.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, although I would love going 30-0 in September when it doesn't matter.
You're pretty close to that anyway, so Quaddy, I mean, Ed Wade probably clinched the deal.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Quaddy, that's a good segue. We're going to talk about him for a few minutes. I'm sure on the outside looking in, you probably just assume that Mike Quaddy's a terrible manager because the Cubs are so terrible this season. And that, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of Cub fans that think that too. Me personally, I was a big supporter of him getting the job over Rhino this past year. And I think it's really easy to blame the manager when a team's playing bad. But I will say there are several things he's done that I haven't liked. Like when to pull pitchers, certain lineup decisions. Like he had Blake DeWitt hitting third for a really long time. Sometimes his comments to the media are way off base. Sometimes he doesn't handle Castro, who's one of our only good players. Sometimes he doesn't handle him very well. I do think he's better than what is shown, and he was given a pretty crappy team, so you can't blame everything on him. Is he a better coach than a manager, though? That could very well be the case, and I think he could be a good manager in a different market. Will I be upset if he's fired? Absolutely not. And now I'm even more inclined to maybe give Rhino a shot, although I'd still prefer to give somebody else out there that has that opportunity. But do you think he's going to keep his job? Do you think he's going to be fired? Like, what are your thoughts on the guy that is bald and has no hair and nobody really knows about still?
To be honest, I think he at least gets a second year. I can't see it, especially when you're debating how much money to spend on players this offseason. I can't see you investing in another manager just to flip over after 1 year when, like you said, he didn't have a lot of talent in place to win in the first place. And really, I mean, they weren't a – I mean, it wasn't a bad division compared to the AL East, but, I mean, when you look at the Cubs roster compared to the Cubs, Reds, and or to the Cardinals, Reds, and Brewers, I mean, they didn't exactly have an easy road in front of them with the roster that they had. So –
at the same time, though, let me interrupt you for a second. At the same time, there's going to be a new general manager, as we've discussed. And so it's going – Rick, Tom Reagan said it's completely up to the new general manager. If you're coming in as a new GM and you look at what Mike Quaddy's done and you have no idea who the guy is, I mean, regardless of how much money he's making, don't you think that he will want to bring in a new guy?
Maybe, yeah, he may want to, but if you hire a good GM, he's probably going to disciplined enough not to, even though he wants to, because again, you only have so much money available, and if you're paying for another, and if you pay for another GM, or if you're paying for another manager, on top of the one that you're paying now, that's that less money that you can put back into the roster that you've got to rebuild. And if I'm the GM of the Cubs, the first thing that's a priority on my list is the roster. And I hope that whoever gets the job isn't listening to this podcast.
So. Well, honestly, I think, I mean, that could very well happen. I'm probably a bigger supporter of Quaddy than some, but I think the Cubs are going to have a completely clean slate from top to bottom next year. I don't even think that their prized hitting coach is going to survive this. I think the new GM is going to look at it and say, I'm going to bring in all my guys, and even if we have to have a rebuilding year, we're going to do this. And with that in mind, this could be a very entertaining offseason, probably more entertaining than the regular season for the Cubs this year.
That's every offseason, because you have hope for next year.
Yeah, we won't talk about the Cardinals much because they are once again going to miss the playoffs like the Cubs, and they have not won a postseason game since 06. So,
can you excuse me for a second? I need to go throw up.
Yeah, well, to make you not throw up, let's talk about the NFL now. Of course, lockout's over. Regular season kicks off very soon. And one of the great things about the NFL is that you kind of feel coming in, there's probably somewhere between 10 and 15 teams that could end up holding the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. So this is a very tough question to open up with, to talk about. You know, we could end up looking like idiots here. But give us a very early Super Bowl matchup. Now, last year I picked the Colts and Packers, so I was half right. And I still think the Colts could have had a shot if they would have stayed healthy. But who are you picking this season to be in the championship?
I've got to go with the team that made the most improvements this offseason, which is not the Eagles like everyone seems to think it is, but the Packers and the Patriots. And the reason I picked them, the Patriots made a couple key acquisitions to fill up holes where they needed to. All the stuff about Albert Haynes with the side, he's going to be a huge addition for them. I don't think the Jets really got better, so I don't think they're going to have any trouble advancing in the playoffs. And as much as I would love to see the Colts just thank the Patriots, who cheated their way to a Super Bowl win over my St. Louis Rams in 2001, I can't see the Colts getting it done this year. Too many health issues with Peyton, and I still think the Colts have a few too many question marks to really make a deep playoff run this year. I have no doubt they'll make the playoffs, but don't have confidence in them to get it done as much as I'd like to see them. They're my favorite team in the AFC. Packers, you ask how do they make more improvements than the Eagles, and that's simple. They're healthy. They haven't been healthy since week one of last year. They were, you know, keep in mind, when they won the Super Bowl, they were on their third-string running back. They have a lot of guys back healthy. They didn't lose anyone of significance. There's no reason to doubt that they're going to come out strong with the NFC North. And the NFC North is going to be one tough division. The Bears and Lions and Vikings are not going to lay down. And really, after the Packers, as far as who places second in that division, you could really just draw a name out of the hat and make a valid argument for that team. So really, I think given the toughest of schedule that they're going to play, they're going to come out in playoff shape. You know, as an athlete, that's one thing I always want to make sure we do. You know, like if I was scheduling our game, is I want to make sure that we put our toughest teams towards the end of the season so we really find that groove and we're war ready by the time the playoffs start. And the Packers will definitely do that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the Packers. I'm not going to say anything about the Patriots or else I'll have to go throw up. And I do like what you said, that Haynesworth is a huge addition, if you know what I mean. But I don't know. I really don't know who I'm going to pick out of the AFC. It seems like every year the Pats and the Colts will at least make the playoffs, and then usually the Steelers as well, as long as they're not completely banged up. And then it's like the other three teams are going to be good. You know, you got the Jets and the Ravens. And, you know, just a lot of teams. Houston might be good this year. It's just really, really difficult to predict. So I'm going to have the Packers against the Packers. See how I built that up there?
Yeah, I did. That was interesting.
Yeah. Tyler and Tyler on TYS20 talking NFL. And we got a few minutes left. Let's talk briefly about our teams individually. You talked about the Colts a little bit already. Peyton Manning is the big question. You said that they were banged up, and actually the Colts are kind of like the Packers in that they're coming into the season healthy. I mean, last year, Dallas Clark, Austin Collie, and Anthony Gonzalez all got hurt for the season. I don't see that happening again. So even if one or two of those guys are healthy this year, I think the offense looks better. They made some improvements to the O-line. They also made some free agent acquisitions on defense to plug some holes. It all comes down to number 18. If he misses any games, they're going to lose those games without a question. So if he misses a couple games, they're going to start 0-2. I think the Colts are a team that needs home field advantage in order if they're going to make a run at the Super Bowl. So it all comes down to his health. If he's healthy right away, I could see another 11-win, 12-win type team. If he misses a few, I think they'll struggle, but I think they'll still get to 10 and be a wild card. But like I said, they need home field advantage. So that's my take on the Colts. What's your take on your team, the Rams?
Well, I've got to say that I really like our chances in the NFC West this year. We still have the best quarterback in the division. Kevin Cole is largely unproven. No one really knows how good he'll be for sure. When you look beyond Kevin Cole and the Cardinals, who already lost a running back for the year, you have the Seahawks, who are starting my favorite quarterback, Travaris Jackson. Definitely a lock to pick against every week for fantasy pick'em. Then the 49ers have all sorts of questions with Colin Kaepernick, and is he going to start over Alex Smith? And we all know Alex Smith is a valid option, and Kaepernick's an unproven rookie. I can't see the 49ers getting it done this year. So out of a very weak division, I think the Rams get 10-6 and make the playoffs for the first time since our glory years. I don't expect us to go very far in the playoffs, but I do think we will make the playoffs finally. So it's nice to be able to say that for a change.
Yes, and it is always exciting when the season is coming up. Every team is in first place, and another good NFL season. I'm glad they're at least playing for sure, and we'll see what happens. Say your prayers for Peyton Manning's neck if you could, and also your prayers that Albert Pujols becomes a Cub next season.
Not going to happen. For
yep.
so many reasons, not going to happen.
Hey, I'll take the Astros GM if we get Pujols.
Yeah, that's not going to happen either. So my fantasy team is set up to beasters in the playoffs, and looking forward to a championship run. I've already won one title with the Kankakee Soldiers this year, IBL champs. Now I'm ready to win a fantasy league title. So,
I can't wait to update our fans on that on next month's podcast. So stay tuned for that. Tyler Sigmar, always a pleasure having you on the show. And don't forget once again to clip those toenails so you can press the ladies.
Wait, what do you mean having me on the show? I thought I was having you on my show. My podcast?
That's funny. It's kind of like that's kind of more lame than my Packer versus Packer joke.
Oh, okay.
All right, now here's where you get off the phone. And that's all the time we have this month on TY's 20. Join us next month for a lot more sports talk. As Harry Carey used to always say, only the shadow knows. Peace.